Hi, everyone. Welcome to Appliance Advisors with Yale Appliance. I'm Francesco, joined as always by Dennis. How are you doing this week, Dennis?
I'm doing good, Fran. How about yourself?
Very good. Very good. So we got, you know, last week we touched upon a lot of the smaller appliances and the little things that make a big difference. And, you know, we got some questions last week, some questions that we didn't get to. And throughout the week, we got a lot more questions here. And we want to kind of, this week, we're going to spend some time, go through a bunch of questions that you guys have already sent us, ones that we haven't gone through. And as always, we always want your feedback, your questions live. Keep them coming. And we're going to try to get to as many questions as we can here this week. So to start it off, I think it's been maybe a couple weeks since we said the words supply chain. So of course, you know, can't go too long without talking about that. But I think we're definitely due for a little bit of an update in general on the appliance industry. You know, have we seen changes? Has the supply chain gotten any better specifically when it comes to appliances? Because it's obviously still a huge topic out there in our industry and really most industries at this point still.
Yeah, so I think the probably the best way to answer that is to not answer it with yes, it is getting better in certain cases, and in certain cases it's actually getting worse. So what am I really meaning to say? Definitely the business on the written side of the business is starting to slow. Inflation is definitely grabbing hold, and the interest rate jumps have definitely slowed some of the business. Now we're talking about slowing that growth against 2021 record numbers. And when you really look back to 2019 and parts of 2020, then you would still say business is still quite healthy. Having said all that though, the manufacturers have ramped up production, really trying to meet the 2021 demand. So they are able to produce more, still in the rears of a back order. But what you are seeing, what I believe we're seeing, is for the longest time, manufacturers would say to dealers like ourselves, to place orders, you know, stack POs, purchase orders in the system to quote unquote save your space in line, because who knew how long COVID was going to last, right? And it seemed to make a lot of sense for someone like us. We just don't play games with that type of stuff. It just doesn't feel like good business. But that was kind of the industry trend, which was to just stack orders, whether you had things sold or not, just get in line. Mm-hmm. And that worked for a bit, but as business is starting to slow, is the business is still broken and inefficient. Warehouses for dealers like ourselves and across the country, they're really tapped. You know, so you're maxed out in your space and then your business is slowing. So I believe that we're seeing a major trend of the inflated purchase orders in the system for the industry starting to vet themselves out. And you're starting to see dealers cancel these ghost POs, if you will, saying, oh gosh, one, I don't even think it could fill. And then second to that, even if I could get it, I don't know that I have the space to get it. So what that's going to create for dealers like ourselves, we believe, that have never kind of finagled the bagel on our POs, will be opportunistic buys and opportunities to get some supply in that's drastically needed. So I think in certain cases, some orders could improve that we're giving longer lead times, but still definitely very choppy. At the same time, you know, sad to say, I don't think at the core of this, many of the manufacturers actually fixed anything internally. They might have ramped up production, but they kind of see COVID as a one and done or a snippet in time. Mm-hmm. And you really just kind of see them holding on, not really improving major systems on the back end or even, information systems to us to have a better line of sight to product. I think they're all just kind of waiting for this thing to level off and kind of go back to normal. We unfortunately, because we're customer facing, haven't had that ability to just turn a blind eye and pray for it all to work. So I think, you know, the good of it is that we've built better infrastructure and systems. While certainly not perfect, that should serve us well into the future. But I think you're going to see spotty availability between now. And if you were to ask my honest opinion, which some of our salespeople in a meeting this week asked, when do I really think we're going to get back to normal? So if we're talking about pre-COVID levels, where you could order something from Yale today and have it delivered today, or have a sub-zero in 48 hours on our doorstep. I think we're looking at first quarter of 2024, as crazy as that sounds. I don't think that's crazy at all. I think that's where we'll get back to kind of 90% fulfillment levels. That's what my educated guess would say.
Yeah, and you know, with appliances specifically, it's still so tough because it's like, you know, these things, there's hundreds of parts in every appliance. And really all it takes is one part, one piece, one control board, whatever it is, to not be available or to be delayed, and it slows down everything. So, you know, while some other things maybe are speeding up around in different industries and things like that, you know, with appliances, it certainly is tough because just the amount of parts and pieces it takes to build every single appliance that's out there. Now, this kind of leads into the next question too. And, you know, we've obviously, over the course of a couple of years, we've had to change kind of what we are saying to customers, but how far in advance are you recommending that appliances, that customers make a purchase for appliances for when they need it? And does it change if it's like a pro style or higher end versus a commodity brand? Like, what would you recommend there?
Honestly, you can't order them fast enough. And I think we have another question that someone had asked last week we were unable to answer, but I'll kind of dovetail into it. One, you know, there's a lot of consumers, I think, sitting on the sidelines saying, wait a minute, at some point, these prices and the increases got to stop. And if they're reading the tea leaves and they're saying, hey, demand's slowing, we know inflation's real, at some point, there's going to be deals again on appliances. I think for commodity goods, non-professional goods, so brands like Sub-Zero Wolf, Thermador, all those, they're not having sales. Quite the opposite. In fact, Thermador, Bosch, and Gaggenau just announced a price increase going into effect the first of the month, October 1st. So we still see price increases on the premium side. I think on the commodity brands, the more mass premium, the Whirlpools, the Samsungs, those types of brands, I think as we head towards Black Friday, you're going to see some promotion. I think that's going to happen. The question the thing I tell all the customers, if between now and then, either way, they continue to have price increases. So if you save 10%, but they went up 12 between now and Black Friday, did you do yourself any favors? And then moreover, do you want to get behind a line of product? These manufacturers have not shown great discretion in their promotion. They're promoting items that aren't even made, that aren't even built, that I can tell you will never get, but they'll promote them. They'll actually send you to stores like us to buy them, knowing that we're going to a gunfight with a butter knife. There's no chance for us to fulfill. But recklessly, they want the impressions on the web, and they want to continue to drive their brand, truly absent to the customer experience, which just, you know, gets us going, because that's everything. You know, brands are made and lost in times like this. You either do the responsible thing or you don't. We see a lot of manufacturers just doing the only thing they know to do, which is sell the sizzle and let us worry about the carnage they leave behind. Yeah. So I think you buy them now. There's going to be more price increases. I don't think you wait till Black Friday, because I don't trust supply and demand as we head to those months. We're already hearing about certain shifts being shut down. And I'll also tell you, they're still so far behind in their production from last year. I think even if they are deals, they might be on products that no one wants that are available. And I don't know that that's a great piece that you even may aspire to want, quite honestly. Yeah. It's kind of what's left. Yeah,
absolutely. And that was kind of that question. It's like, you know, should you wait for the next promotion, wait for a Black Friday? It's like, do you see more of these rebates? And these are definitely questions that we get, you know, really daily still to this point. And like you said, it's even the mail-in rebates portions from the manufacturers, they're spotty. They're not what they were. The time frames are really difficult to meet for customers that are planning for long-term kind of kitchens at this point anyway. So yeah, I mean, unfortunately in that part, you're absolutely right. It's kind of, right now, it's, you know, like you said, you can wait and pay more, save a little bit, kind of what it is at that point. But yeah, you're not really, you know, it all kind of nets out in the end. So no question. So The next thing is kind of, let's talk about, get into more products and talk about induction. And induction is definitely, you know, something we've talked about a ton here, but it's something that's in the news more and more now. You see people talking about going from gas to induction, and some of the most common questions we get are like, really, what are the best performing induction cooktops, brands, things like that? What would you say to that?
Yeah, definitely. And on that, I'll talk about this for a quick moment. While the government, with everything going on in Russia, and kind of Karen Kay is out there and asked a question, which we'll get to in a second, but kind of dovetail into it all. You know, with the gas crisis, everything going on overseas, the U.S. government, you know, coming out, and they're great at this. Politicians are great at talking about, you know, energy and energy saving products, getting tax breaks. You know, my brother-in-law is a big accountant in an accounting firm. My father-in-law owns an accounting firm. And, you know, I go to these guys for everything accounting. And honestly, no one can really understand what they mean. I think it'll get there. is an example for induction. Right now, there is a $500 rebate out there that Energy Star has put out, mm-hmm. but it's not just a rebate. You've got to go through a whole house audit. Someone's going to come to your house. So there's definitely hoops to jump through, and it's not guaranteed that you get it. But I think at some point, you know, it's natural, and it is a responsible thing to do to get to more electric products. And induction has been a slow grab the whole way. But definitely the word, the question of induction and efficiency and tax breaks and all these things, it's coming up more and more and more. You're seeing local and state governments actually mandating it on multi-unit high-rise where you might have to have electric appliances instead of gas. So it's there. But to answer really your question today, Fran, was induction cooking. Which induction cooktop is the best performing? This is price aside, because actually it happens to be, it's counterintuitive, you know, it's one of the better value cooktops. A Wolf induction cooktop is absolutely the best performing. Now, let's define that. Define performing. If we're defining performing by high to low heat response time, fastest to boil, it's that. Now, someone will come up in the chat and say, no, so-and-so has certain amount of... I can only tell you in real life experience, having every single one live in our showrooms, putting all the same amount of water in every single one and turning them all on high at the same time, Wolf will absolutely outperform every other competitive brand. Doesn't matter what it is. Now, certain people like brands like Thermador, Freedom Induction Cooktop. Yeah, but that's a $5,000 cooktop. The Wolf can be had for anywhere between $2,499 and $3,000 in most cases, depending on some certain trim options and sizes. But it kind of sits, and that's where a lot of induction sits, kind of that $2,000 to $3,000 space. The more premium brands tend to be $3,000 to $5,000. So they kind of are really good value, easy, intuitive controls. It's not necessarily a pitch for induction, but if you ask me that question straight up, it's a Wolf.
Nice features too, like even on their 36 inch where they have kind of that section in on the left side there that you can really put up to a 16 inch pot or pan or something like that to get really a large cooking surface. And you know, not a lot, you know, some brands like the Freedom Induction you can do, but very limited on the brands that kind of give you that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the ones that do that bridge, not all of them, but a lot of them that do the bridge style, like a Freedom Induction, and people ask about that top a lot. That's cool technology. I mean, it's the idea of, it's literally the play on the word freedom. You can kind of put any size pan anywhere on the stovetop, and it can handle it to a boil. The problem with that is it's shared power. Yeah. The way that it finds the pan, it's just slower. It's cool, and we like the concept. It's different, but how many times Monday through Friday are you just using an 8, 10, or 12-inch saute pan or an 8, 10, or 12-inch stock pot or saucepan? That's what we use. Yeah. We think about the couple of holidays a year we want a roasting pan, but most of those, like the Wolf, have a bridge burner front to back that you can put that roasting pan. So really, something like that is all you need. We're enamored by the other, and if you were going to almost spend double. And we sell a lot of Freedom Induction. It's not that it's bad. But if people ask me what's truly the best performing, it's that, because I've seen it with my own eyes.
All right.
Time and time again.
Great. And definitely, yeah, I mean, induction, as we said, I mean, it's so popular now, but you can definitely, you know, it's going to be one of those things that continues to get more and more popular and more mainstream, especially once we figure out what's going on, all these, obviously, these incentives and everything else. You know, I'm sure there'll be a lot more to come with that. So the next question, you know, this is really kind of near and dear to us too, because it's something that, you know, being a servicer, we deal with this question every single day. You know, being such a huge appliance service is just such a major part of what we do. You know, customers every day are asking us, you know, would you recommend I repair or do you recommend I replace?
Oh, man, it's almost like when you said that, Craig just put in an awesome question that is, it was like we inserted that question, but he really did ask it. So repair versus replace, you know, bag full of money, I tell for 95% of brands, it's a 7 to 10 year life. It's mm-hmm. just what it is. So if you're at 5 or 6 and it's a major repair, you need to do some deep soul searching. You can get upset, scream and cry, or you can start to think about good money versus bad. We've all had the car that's outside of warranty, and you know, it just seems like it's timed perfectly that things start to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll make two comments right now. One, I think warranties are as much in your interest now as ever before.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes perfect sense. We would all agree that manufacturers were struggling to get widgets, parts, chips, all the things that everyone heard about, regardless to whether it's an appliance or it's your AC compressor at your house or a car or whatever. So they were finding these new relationship, whoever could supply them the widget, they'd get it. And we know in times past, they'd test that widget to make sure that it was, you know, going to perform correctly. Now, I think they just had to rush because they had to get product out. And I think it would make perfectly good sense that products are going to break a lot more. We are seeing more DOAs, dead on arrival type units, than we generally have in categories like microwaves that you never saw. You know, that's kind of like a bulletproof category, right? They go until they die, and when they die, you throw them out. But we're actually seeing DOAs. So I would say that I think that you should consider warranties wherever you're buying them. You should, but I would only also say that if they back their own warranty, truly, because I think that the manufacturers, 99%, just so you know, of anyone that sells you a warranty doesn't own the liability of the warranty. They're selling you a piece of paper. It's as good as the paper it's written on. You know, and it is, but we're not alone. There's a lot of other great appliance dealers that do this. We back all our own warranties because we don't want our customers to have to call a 1-800 number, or we're not going to use the excuse of we have to talk to the manufacturer. We're going to make the call if you bought the warranty with us. If you don't use the warranty, then we give you half that cost back and credit in the store to buy at the end of 5 years. So, you know, it's more of the fact that what we don't want to see happen is someone be in year three, have a really bad go of it, and now we're on the hook to make it right for the consumer. And we have no one to go back to ourself. Stuff happens. So if it was to get back to the question, 7 to 10 years life expectancy, you need to really consider it. If it's a major repair, at 5 years or 6 years, close to, I would replace it. Parts are very hard to come by right now in COVID. They really are, and we feel that in the service side because it's just taking an extremely long time to get what you need to get.
Yeah, definitely. Let's
get to Craig's question. Question was, have you noticed a higher amount of service calls on post-pandemic appliances as companies try to push product out? I mean, that's just what we're talking about. Are companies maintaining the same quality standard? No. I don't think that they intentionally are. I don't think it was to save money. I don't think it was cost savings. I think it was survival. They needed to push product out. What we are definitely seeing is a much longer lead time on service, because for someone like us, you know, buying the appliance is the easy part. What you remember is when it goes wrong and when it's broken and how fast somebody can get you back on track. We've always prided ourselves in being very efficient at that. In the pandemic, it's awful. It's awful. You know, our lead times are pushed way out, and they're pushed way out for just all the questions that Craig just mentioned. You know, the diagnosing is harder. The parts to come to fix it are harder. Mm-hmm. And many times customers just need, you need to get to the home. So play this out. We pre-diagnose over the phone if we can. But many times we need to see what's going on. We need to test it. So we're in field, we test it. We don't have parts with us a lot of times because we don't know what's wrong with it. And even if we knew what's wrong with it, sometimes takes a long time to get said part, right? So it can be a very frustrating consumer experience on the service side. You know, most manufacturers right now are 90 days out for service. So 1-800-GE, 1-800-SAMSUNG, 1-800-GOOD-LUCK. They never had the infrastructure to support the business anyway. They relied on dealers like ourselves that have a very robust service department. And even we are, you know, 4 weeks out, 5 weeks out on calls. And that's actually an improvement from where we've been. So it's a tricky part. So a lot of people are just saying, you know what, heck with it. This thing's 6-7 years out, I'm just going to replace it. But to answer the question, I think we're going to feel this effect for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. Definitely not easy to service. And like we always say, that's why, you know, there's not many good companies around here that really provide good appliance service. And the comment on the warranty is so important, because as a consumer, you don't really know. Like, how do you know? You got to make sure, and you take it upon yourself to ask those questions. Who holds the warranty? What number do I call when I have a problem? Who's coming out to my house to service the appliance when there's a problem? It's really on you as the consumer to take those extra steps and ask the question. It's, you know, when it comes to warranties, you know, of course you're looking at what that warranty is going to cost you, but it's really more important to see how it works. Because if it's a third party warranty and it's not backed by the person that you're buying it from, a lot of times I don't care what it costs, it's probably not worth it, no matter what it is. No matter how inexpensive it is, it's probably not worth it at that point.
Yeah, let's go real quick, Fran, to Scrapping Studio. Yeah. So what she asks is, she says, yeah, there's a couple. Let's go to this one first. I'm trying to make decisions if I go with a kitchen package, or do I pick and choose based on my needs and wants? I always tell people you should never buy a package. I am a big, if it works out that way, awesome. You're shopping the wrong way for appliances if that's how you're trying to shop. do not be misled by marketing gimmicks, because that's what they all are. Every single one of them. The world's worst one is Thermidor 123. It's not free. I can assure you the hood costs something, and it doesn't cost $4,000 like they're propping it up. Or their dishwashers aren't $2,400 dishwashers. They're actually Bosch dishwashers that you buy for $9.99 or $12.99, and they're going to make it. So you're smart people. Don't get misled. You buy products based on need and how it's going to solve your life's problems. If you start chasing rebates, you feel good that you won, but you probably gave up a performance opportunity somewhere for less money. Certain manufacturers make certain things better than others. If it all works out that it makes sense for you, great. But don't chase packages. Because I can tell you right now, if you buy a Thermidor package, you aren't seeing the hood in the next year, year and a half. Okay, you're not seeing the dishwasher, well, depending who the dealer is, for an awful long time. You're not seeing half their products for a long time. So they put you in a package, and you can't get an occupancy permit without a hood. It's the worst. It makes me crazy. So the answer is don't chase that stuff. The same question that the follow-up question that Scrapping Studio asked was, I heard you just mention that Thermidor pricing is going up on Saturday. It is. I know Cafe goes up on Saturday as well. Cafe actually doesn't go up on Saturday. What you're talking about is promotional maps. So when you're talking about pro brands like Thermidor, Sub-Zero Wolf, Fisher Paykel, there's more and more of them. GE Monogram would be a perfect one. Those are what we call UMR, unilateral minimum retail pricing. The pricing is set. The pricing is going to be the same price everywhere. The price is the price is the price. Okay. When you're talking a brand like Cafe, they got something called minimum advertised price. And what that means is they can adjust the price just like they're doing to you all throughout the market. So the 9th through the 12th, they could be a $500 rebate. And then the 13th, that goes away and you're back to not getting the $500. That game is a game. What, you know, and they want you to chase it. So what, when we talk about Thermidor, the systemic price, the fixed cost is going up, and it will go up indefinitely, permanently. It won't come back down. So that's kind of the thing to pay attention to. Maybe that answers your question, but Cafe conceptually will have another promotion when we don't always know right now in COVID. A lot of it's kind of, it's coming and going. And for the last two and a half years, we haven't seen any promotional pricing. So just kind of know.
Appreciate the question, Liz. There's always one topic per question per episode. There's always one topic that
You had two good questions.
You're the winner this week.
We might have to block Scrapping Studio with Liz because she had two good questions back to back. We don't allow questions.
We like it when you get you riled up. So that's the best.
So let's go in there. I think it's EPG423. Mm-hmm. Someone says they're going to sell me something, apparently. I don't know. Maybe. But either way, the question was, I want Wolf, but it's so expensive. Actually, when you're really looking at it, induction, it's not expensive. It's right in the meat of the market. Actually, it could be on the less expensive side. Having said that, truth be told, if you're looking for the Samsungs of the world and the really the lower end brands of the world and the cheaper stuff, well, then it does. In theory, it exists in spirit in a marketing ad, but you can't get it. It's not being produced. These manufacturers are only producing their more premium lines. So if you then look at what's left and what's available today, Wolf is actually right in the dead meat of the market. In a good time, I would tell you that, you know, you have a few underlying brands, but quite honestly, check the track records on them that sell at $15.99 to say $2,200 in the induction range. The Frigidaires of the world, the Samsungs of the world, but honestly, their service record is like through the roof. So you get what you pay for there, a couple $100 more. You get a Wolf, you get a better product, faster boil. So I think if you're going to go that route and you're going to go induction and you're going to be all in on it, then I think, honestly, you're not spending much more money for a really good product. Hopefully that answers it. Okay.
I think we have time for probably one more question here. And I think the next one we got was really regarding smart appliances. And, you know, is it worth buying them? Should I consider smart appliances when I'm looking at different brands?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's a million-dollar question. I mean, I don't think smart appliances, from what we hear and what we aggregate and from consumer feedback, that it's truly today a buying decision for 99% of people. Meaning, they're not coming in saying, I have to have smart. That's my drive. I want something that works with the phone or with an app. The main reason for that, I always say it, is because until it's a mesh network, meaning it all works on one clean thing. In your house today, if you have a Keurig and you have a GE dishwasher and you have a Samsung fridge and you have this, can it all work on one app? When you have to launch a lunar rocket and turn on 17 different apps to make this thing go, you know, our lives are complicated enough. I don't think most people will take advantage of it. Having said that, I do think some of the features are really, really cool. I think some of the brands, we talked about this in the past, GE and LG, that are taking the smart in a different direction, and they're taking it in the direction of course, it can do all the things like preheat your oven, tell you how much time's left in your washing machine, say, for instance, if you're upstairs and you want to know, do I go down and change the laundry or whatever. I think those things are cool features, but I think the really aha moment for me is when some of these manufacturers are starting to get into proactive service, meaning they can set, they can read the algorithms from your appliance to know it, something's about to break before it breaks. So you don't have downtime. So actually they would contact us and allow us to contact you to say, hey, the part, we already have the part in stock. Just so you know, your condenser fan is on the fritz and we have one here already for you. Would you like us to come fix it? Now understand, this isn't Big Brother. No one's creeping in your home. You're opting into this if you want, but I think that that's real intriguing to us. We love it because we'd rather handle a problem proactively than reactively. So I think that when those things truly work in a fluid way that we can trust and know that it's going to be consistent and accurate and time-saving for customers, then the word smart appliance will be all-encompassing. And then I think people will be more apt to maybe buy into it. I think on the user interface of the niceties of time left in your pre, you know, all the, all the pretty fancy things you can do with it, I think until it's really gooey and easy for someone to use on one application for all appliances, it's kind of going to be punchy.
Yeah. Great. All right. So I think that's going to wrap up all the questions for today. One thing I did definitely want to mention here, for especially for our local audience and our local market here. So starting tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4 each day, we're holding a virtual online clearance sale. This is going to be online only. So you got to look online, purchase online. There'll be some really great deals on overstock, new in box products that we have on anything from appliances to faucets and sinks and things like that too. So there's really going to be a lot of things there. If you're able to take immediate delivery, some really great deals for you. So check that out. 10 to 4 starting tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, each day, 10 to 4. And that's going to wrap up this week's episode of Appliance.
Hold on, friend, I'm going to do it. I do it every week. Betty Pang, it's an easy one. You know, Blue Star versus Miele, buy a Blue Star in this case. Miele is so backwards with their lead times. It's just awful. It's brutal. It is absolutely unacceptably brutal. We have zero visibility to Miele. And moreover, if you're talking about fitting a full sheet pan in, you want a Blue Star. Blue Star has a very large usable refrigerator inside. And if the next question is, well, what about service? Well, both of them have only been in the business for a few years of full-size built-in refrigeration. And I'll throw Thermador in that bucket too. So, you know, we're talking less than 8 years, 10 years for most of these brands in these spaces. So we don't have long-term life on any of them. But if you ask the question of wanting to fit full catering sheet pans, depending on what you're buying, then absolutely Blue Star is the more usable. The shelves slide out better. I think the lighting's probably as good, if not better. And moreover, I'm just you guys, if you go back and play my original episodes to where I am now, I'm getting tired. I'm getting tired of the same manufacturer excuses. They need to fix our system so that we can help customers like yourself have a better experience. They owe it to the customers. Forget us for a moment. We're just the person in the middle, but they owe it to you all to start to get their stuff together. It's just not acceptable. So if you're wondering if there's anyone, whether I sell your product to you or not, that's on that wall of giving them an earful on a regular, it's this guy right here. It's just, I won't let up until it gets better. So
love it.
It may be futile, but I'll keep fighting the fight.
What better way to end the episode? That's great. So that's awesome. So I think that's going to wrap it up for sure for this week. Go. So as always, appreciate all the insight, Dennis. And as always, appreciate all the feedback from the audience. And keep the questions coming. Anything that we didn't get to today and even after today, keep them coming. We'll get to all those next week. So as always, we appreciate your participation here. And we hope to see you next time. Thanks,
Thank
everyone.
You all.